points to ponder on Christ's act of obedience. These are just headings, brief points. See my previous articles for detailed arguments. 1. Christ accomplished justification on the cross. Romans 5:18, Hebrews 10:10-14. This is not in dispute. Even so, we must not forget the part played by the resurrection. Romans 4:25, taking full account of the double dia, nor by Christ's subsequent life. Romans 5:9-10. 2. The real issue is not the means of the believer's justification, but what precisely is imputed to the believer at the point of faith. The Bible calls this righteousness. The New Covenant draws very heavily on the Old Covenant. What was righteousness in the Old Covenant? It was obedience to the law. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. Deuteronomy 6:25. See also Deuteronomy 24:13. Righteousness in the Old Covenant was far more than pardon. It was something positive, something actually done. See Psalm 106:30-31. This principle must not be jettisoned when we come to the New Covenant. As Christ is the believer's Sabbath, priest, temple, sacrifice, so he is his righteousness. Whatever such things were in shadow in the Old Covenant, in the New Covenant they are the believer's actual experience in Christ. 3. Of course, no man is justified by the works of the law. Galatians 2:16. Righteousness does not come by the law, Galatians 2:21, nor could the law impart life, and thus righteousness is not based on the law, Galatians 3:21. But this does not in any way nullify point 2. The fact is, no sinner can keep the law. That is why there is no justification by the law. But if someone did keep the law, that would be a very different story. Romans 7:10, 10:5. Christ was born and lived without sin. Acts 3:14, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Hebrews 4:15, 7:26-27, 1 Peter 2:22, 1 John 3:5, under the law, Galatians 4:4, to fulfill it, Matthew 5:17. And he did what the law was too weak to accomplish, too weak because man is a sinner. Romans 8:1-4. And thus Christ, by his obedience to the law in both life and death, laid the basis for Paul's assertion. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith, that is, by the gospel, especially justification by faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Romans 3:31. See Matthew 5:17. Romans 8:4. 4. Righteousness must be more than pardon. Take this. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:7-8. Righteous, having righteousness, is equivalent to good, to being good, not merely pardon or being pardoned. The unconverted are not merely unpardoned sinners. Similarly, saints are not merely pardoned sinners. As John said, if you know that he, that is Christ, is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. 1 John 2:29. See John 7:18. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he, that is Christ, is righteous. 1 John 3:7. Christ is not pardoned, but he is righteous, and righteousness is something done. 5. Those who think righteousness means pardon must read the following texts this way. Unless your pardon exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, verse 20. Gentiles who did not pursue pardon have attained it, that is, a pardon that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to pardon, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as it were, based on works. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the pardon of God, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's pardon. For Christ is the end of the law for pardon to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the pardon that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the pardon based on faith says, and so on. Romans 9, verse 30 to 10, 6. For our sake he, that is God, made him, that is Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the pardon of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. I cannot read those texts in that way. 6. Union with Christ is the key. All that Christ as mediator is, and all that Christ has done as mediator, is the believer's by reason of union with Christ. This must not, cannot be confined to Christ's work on the cross. 7. If the active obedience of Christ is not imputed to the believer, it means that his obedience to his Father under the law was simply a preparation for the cross, leaving only his work on the cross to be imputed. In which case, at what point precisely did the work of Christ that is imputed to the believer start?